Indymedia Global Report on Resonance FM 104.4. Check out www.indymedia.org.uk.
In a democracy, the ignorant and meddlesome outsiders, the general population, have to be kept from interfering. They can be spectators, but not participants.
No matter how much legal action you put behind this, people are going to do what they want to do.
Spectators, but not participants.
Well, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome.
It's time to talk about censorship.
This week's Indie Global Reports is brought to you from Occupy Bethlehem. Indie Global Reports was recorded on the 2nd of March 2008. On the 2nd of March 2008, the death toll by Sunday evening had reached 98 people in Gaza.
This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, www.imemc.org, for February the 23rd through to February the 29th, 2008. As Israeli attacks on Gaza leave 44 Palestinian dead this week, the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, demands the rival Hamas party cease firing homemade shells from the coastal region into nearby Israeli towns. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent actions in the West Bank. IMEMC's Manar Jabreen with the details.
The villagers of Bel'in, along with international and Israeli supporters, conducted their weekly protest against the illegal Israeli wall being built on village lands. Israeli troops attacked protesters, injuring four. Bel'in village, located near Ramallah, held its weekly protest as it has for the last 3 years. The protest started after Friday prayers, with participants marching from the village center towards the construction site of the wall. The theme of this week's protest was solidarity with Gaza, where Israeli attacks killed 44 Palestinians this week. Villagers and their supporters managed to reach the gate of the wall, the barrier that has confiscated their land. Soldiers prevented the peaceful protesters from crossing at the gate, showering them with tear gas and sound bombs. Four protesters, Ibrahim Burnat, Adib Abu Rahme, Wael Nasser, Iyad Burnat, were injured by the soldiers' fire. Also on Friday, around 100 villagers of Al-Khadr, Israeli and international peace activists, held a non-violent protest against the illegal wall now being constructed on lands owned by the villagers of Al-Khadr, located near Bethlehem. After Friday prayers at the village mosque, the protesters marched to the construction site of the illegal Israeli wall. They were blocked by a dozen Israeli soldiers, prevented the march to continuing. Speeches in Arabic, English and Hebrew were delivered by the protesters after a short standoff with the army. The organizers ended Friday's action, promising to return next week. For IMEMC.org, this is Manar Jibreen.
From Cairo, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas demanded that the rival Hamas party stop firing homemade shells from the Gaza into nearby Israeli towns, so as not to give Israel more excuse to attack Gaza. IMEMC's Conscious Londres with the details.
Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmed Abu Ayhet expressed his concern over the conditions in Gaza and reiterated his country's willingness to get Abbas of Fatah and Hamas together for the sake of Palestinian national interests. Both Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert voiced pessimism this week over reaching a peace deal by the end of 2008. Olmert said that Israel will try to make that agreement possible. The Israeli government, in the meantime, decided to strike heavily against the Gaza Strip to undermine the ruling Hamas party, which is involved in armed struggle against Israeli occupation. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, meeting with Olmert in Tokyo, said she was concerned over the humanitarian situation in Gaza. Olmert announced the Israeli army will make Hamas pay a heavy price for the homemade shells fired from Gaza onto nearby Israeli areas. Concurrently, Qatari Foreign Minister Sheikh Hamad bin Yassim met this week with Israeli left-wing MP Yossi Berlin in Doha. Bin Yassim emphasized the need that President Abbas of the Palestinian Authority should return to dialogue with the elected Hamas party, without which peace negotiations with Israel will be fruitless. The Palestinian-Israeli peace talks have been advancing very slowly, without concrete results, since they were first revived by the US-sponsored peace summit of Annapolis in November 2007. Yemen produced a new proposal for reconciliation between Hamas and Fatah. Hamas welcomed the Yemeni initiative and said it is willing to engage in a dialogue, provided that no conditions be set. President Abbas has outlawed Hamas after the Islamist party took over the coastal territory in June of last year, amidst a power struggle with Fatah. Since then, Abbas has been demanding Hamas renounce control of Gaza before any dialogue is commenced. In February 2007, both rivals concluded a unity deal in the Saudi Arabian city of Mecca, followed by the formation of the first unity government. However, infighting broke out a few months later after the National Unity Government was shunned by Israel and the West. Earlier this week, Israeli Foreign Minister Tzvi Livni said that part of Israel must be given up for peace agreement with the Palestinians. Livni's remarks came during a Jerusalem meeting with Jewish leaders. The above-mentioned developments came on the heels of deadly Israeli attacks on the coastal region, in which more than 44 Palestinians, including 12 children, have been killed and scores of others wounded. For IMEMC.org, this is Conscience Londres.
This week, the Israeli army continues to attack the Gaza Strip, leaving at least 44 Palestinians killed. In Gaza, IMEMC's Rami Al-Maghari explains.
By Friday, the distal in Gaza reached 44. The Israeli Army Radio reported that the army has laid the groundwork for a wider-scale offensive targeting the Gaza Strip. Matan Zelnai, the Israeli Deputy Defense Minister, stated that the Palestinian firing of four Mitchells will bring upon themselves a bigger Holocaust. On a Friday, two Palestinians were reported killed by the Israeli attacks on the coastal region, with four others, two of whom children, were injured. Doctors at Gaza City Hospital announced the death of Hala El-Borno, 20 from wounds sustained on Thursday evening when Israeli jet fighters shelled a Palestinian police station west of Gaza City. Mohammed Shamia, 25, was killed and two others injured when an Israeli F-16 fighter fired missiles at a car belonging to the Palestinian electricity company. On Thursday, 19 Palestinians were killed in the Gaza Strip in more Israeli attacks. Among those killed were 10 civilians, including 6 children. 4 more Palestinian children were killed and 1 critically injured when Israeli jet fighters shot several missiles at civilians in Jabalia town, located in the northern Gaza Strip, on Thursday afternoon. Medical sources identified the 4 as Mohammed Mamdouh, 7, Ali Darduna, 8, Omar Darduna, 14, and his brother Deeb Philevin. Meanwhile, Amjad Al-Sakani, 12, was found dead after being shot by the Israeli army in Rafah City in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. Mohammed Al-Barai, 5 months old, was announced dead on Thursday after sustaining wounds on Wednesday evening when Israeli jet fighters bombed the Palestinian Authority offices and surrounding areas in Gaza City. An Israeli strike on Wednesday evening killed 3 Palestinian children in northern Gaza and wounded 17 others. Palestinian medical sources reported that 2 Palestinian farmers were killed on Wednesday afternoon during Israeli shelling of farmland near Gaza City in the northern part of the coastal region. 5 resistance fighters, members of the Al-Qassam Brigade, the armed wing of Hamas, were killed and 3 others wounded in Israeli airstrike in the early morning. Also, on Wednesday afternoon, Israeli media sources reported that 17 Palestinian homemade shells fired from Gaza landed in the nearby southern Israeli town of Sderot, killing 1 Israeli man and injuring 3 others. Late on Tuesday night, an Islamic Jihad fighter was reportedly killed in Israeli fire near the Gaza-Israel border in the Al-Burayt refugee camp in central Gaza Strip. A farmer in central Gaza, Israeli borders, was killed by Israeli army fire on Tuesday afternoon. Palestinian sources reported that 4 Palestinians were killed by Israeli fire during 3 separate operations in the Gaza Strip on Monday. Hussam Abu Hain was killed when Israeli jet fighters shelled residential areas east of Gaza City on Monday at dawn, medical sources reported. Meanwhile, Hani Abu Salah and Sa'ir Misbah were killed when Israeli drones fired missiles at a group of resistance fighters in Khan Yunis City in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. Medhat Awad, 20, was found dead on Monday near the Gaza International Airport, located to the east of Rafah City, in the south of Gaza Strip. Local sources reported that Awad was killed by invading Israeli troops that attacked the area on Sunday. On Saturday, three Palestinians were killed after an Israeli shell hit them in the northern Gaza town of Beit Hanun. Witnesses said that an Israeli missile targeted the three young men to the east of Beit Hanun city, leading to their instant death. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari in Gaza.
This week, the Israeli army conducted at least 36 military invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During invasions, the Israeli army killed three Palestinians, kidnapping another 67. IMEMC's Louisa White has more.
With this week's kidnappings, the number of Palestinian civilians kidnapped by the Israeli army from the West Bank since the beginning of 2008 now stands at 499. On Thursday, the Israeli army killed two resistance fighters from the northern West Bank city of Nablus. Palestinian sources reported that two Palestinian fighters were shot and killed on Thursday at dawn during armed clashes with Israeli forces, which had invaded Balata refugee camp east of the city of Nablus. Two other fighters were injured and abducted by the army. Nablus city was also attacked on Wednesday. A special undercover unit of the Israeli army invaded the city of Nablus on Wednesday morning, killed one, injured four, and kidnapped them. Eyewitnesses stated that troops disguised as vegetable traders drove a truck into the city. Troops opened fire at a Palestinian security office in Nablus city as five resistance fighters from the Al-Aqsa Brigade, the armed wing of Fatah, were leaving. One was killed and four others were injured and kidnapped by the army. On Wednesday morning, Israeli forces detained a Palestinian photojournalist in Jenin, taking footage of the separation wall which annexes Anin village west of Jenin city. Eyewitnesses reported that Israeli soldiers attacked Hazim Bader from Hebron, a photojournalist for the French press, and they also confiscated his camera. Bader was handcuffed and was detained for at least 2 hours. On Tuesday morning, Israeli forces invaded several buildings belonging to the Islamic Charitable Association and Muslim Youth Association in the southern West Bank city of Hebron. The army confiscated equipment and documents from the properties. The army issued military orders to close down the associations, transferring ownership of all offices and buildings to Israeli authorities. A group of Israeli troops and settlers attacked Palestinian farmers in the village of Atuani, located near the southern West Bank city of Hebron, on Sunday morning. As farmers grazed their sheep near their village, Israeli troops attacked them and their herds, forcing them to leave. This followed a previous attack on Saturday by a group of settlers as the farmers herded. They complained that the settlers injured one sheep. The Israeli army, along with radical Israeli settlers from the nearby settlement of Harat Mayon, regularly attack Atuani villagers and their herds. For IMEMC.org, this is Louisa White.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This is Morwenna Pincaro and Ghassan Banoura.
Sunday, the 2nd of March, and we now have a death total of 98 people killed in Gaza in Israeli shelling. I'm here with Ghassan Banoura of IMEMC.org, and he has been on the phone to medical sources inside Gaza about the situation there. He's been speaking to doctors who, unfortunately, have had to deal with the dead and the injured.
Hi, how are you? Well, the latest update by Sunday afternoon, we have the death toll of 98 people with injuries exceeding the 200 in numbers. Most of the, according to doctors in Kamal Adwan Hospital in the northern part of Gaza Strip, they're reporting that most of the dead are civilians. Ambulance crews are still finding bodies among destroyed homes, among the rubble, who they couldn't evacuate yesterday. Yesterday all day, the Israeli tanks invaded the Jabalia area, located in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, and start shelling residence homes and civilian areas. By Saturday evening, we had the death toll reaching, only on Saturday, reaching 56, among them at least 40 civilians. Now today more bodies have been found, and the shelling continued on the northern part of the Gaza Strip. Six people were killed in the shelling today, and four new bodies were found from yesterday's shelling, so that's the death total of 10. So today and on Sunday and Saturday, the death toll now is 66. If we start from Wednesday to count bodies, we'll arrive to a death toll of 98. The doctors are not only reporting casualties, they are also reporting lack of medicine, and they are saying that they cannot provide medical care anymore in some hospitals because they are lacking medicine due to the siege. The Israeli army put Gaza under siege since June 2007. And after all of this time working under siege, their whole medical supplies have been finished. The fuel supplies that they depend on to provide electricity also finished. So some of the hospitals had to shut down, lack of fuel supply and medical supplies.
It's a humanitarian crisis inside Gaza. Across the West Bank today, there were demonstrations in solidarity with the victims and the people suffering in Gaza. You and I went out to cover some of those demonstrations. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Today, since the early morning, first of all, the form of protest took two forms. One of them was a general strike where shops and public service offices, municipal offices, closed since the morning and refused to provide services in protest of what's happening in Gaza. The other form started shortly after Sunday prayers. In Bethlehem areas and midday prayers in other areas in Palestine, in the West Bank, where people took to the streets in organized and random protests, and the protesters held signs like "Stop the killing of children of Gaza," "Open Gaza," "Stop attacking Gaza," "Save Gaza." In Bethlehem, a major protest was organized in front of the Nativity Church and then proceeded forward from the Nativity Church, which is in the center of Bethlehem, towards the military wall that is separating the city of Bethlehem from its twin sister city of Jerusalem. As soon as children from local schools and protesters arrived there, the soldiers from the watchtower showered the protesters with tear gas and live rounds. Two boys were injured, one of them in his left leg from a live round, and the other one suffered from inhaling tear gas. And they were transported to a local hospital. Unfortunately, in Hebron, it wasn't as easy as Bethlehem. In Hebron, one boy was killed in similar protests. The army used live rounds and killed one schoolboy who was protesting what's happening in Gaza in a village just to the west of Hebron. In Hebron city itself, another demonstration took place in the city center, and the army again attacked it and injured 25 people. They showered them with metal rubber-coated bullets and tear gas, injuring 25. In Ramallah, also a similar protest, two protests were reported, one in Kalandia checkpoint, which is the wall that separates Ramallah from Jerusalem. The army injured 5 school children. In Bil'in, the village of Bil'in organized a protest. Bil'in is located near Ramallah, and a spontaneous protest were organized by the local villagers who wanted to show solidarity with Gaza, so they marched to the construction site of the illegal wall, which is being built illegally on the village land. And as soon as the protesters reached there, the soldiers again showered them with tear gas and rubber-coated bullets and injured 7 schoolboys. And they threatened to invade the village and attack it during the night because they say the protesters damaged part of the wall, which is by the International Court of Justice, it was deemed illegal and should be demolished.
And at the Jerusalem Supreme Court, they also said that the wall needed to be demolished in that area as well last year.
Definitely, the village of Bil'in went to court 3 years ago, and after a year and a half of fighting in the Israeli court, the Israeli High Court of Justice deemed that wall illegal and should be removed. So basically, demolishing it is following the Israeli court decision. But still, the army and the settlers refuse to demolish that wall and to remove it.
It's a pretty bad day today across the West Bank, and an even worse day across Gaza. What do you think can happen in the future? Are we going to see more deaths? I mean, we're talking Sunday night. The Indie Media Global Reports is going to be broadcast Monday night. So even by Monday, we could be looking at more deaths. So the figures could be out of date.
Well, from past experience, unfortunately, I cannot see the attacks on Gaza, the Israeli army attacks on Gaza, finishing anytime soon. It's consistent with today's cabinet meeting. The Israeli government had a cabinet meeting today, and actually the Israeli defense minister stated after the meeting, saying that the operation will continue in Gaza, and it might be intensified even, meaning that they will bring more troops into Gaza and continue to shell Gaza. The problem is the numbers will keep changing, because there is critically injured people among the 200 I was talking about earlier that might succumb to their wounds. The shelling is continuing in Gaza. Israeli army drones, unmanned planes, they are using to shell anything that move in Jabalia or the northern part of the Gaza Strip. So far, other parts of Gaza haven't been invaded or attacked yet, but the Israeli government also on Saturday threatened to start assassinating political leaders of the Hamas movement, which controls Gaza. Targeted civilian targets, they targeted governmental buildings, they targeted police stations, they even targeted ambulance crews. On Saturday, one of the injured was an ambulance driver who was injured directly when his ambulance came under fire from the Israeli army. Looking and monitoring what's happening in the political side and on the ground, you could see it's consistent with more and more violence in Gaza and probably in the West Bank. We witnessed two attacks on Wednesday and Thursday in the West Bank city of Nablus, where three resistant fighters from Al-Aqsa Brigades of Fatah, the Fatah movement, which is the president of the Palestinians, Mahmoud Abbas, he's one of the founders of Fatah, and the leader of Fatah is negotiating with the Israelis about peace, and still they attacked his movement and killed three resistant fighters. So we might witness also attacks in the West Bank. The Israeli army usually escalates attacks on all levels in all areas. Of course, the attacks on Gaza is more bloody than the ones in the West Bank due to two facts. In Gaza, the population is more concentrated. The areas is too small for the population, meaning 1.5 million Palestinians in Gaza living in an area that do not fit for the half of that number. So basically, the shells, I was talking to ambulance drivers, they say we could see shells going from, tank shells going from one house to another three house in the back, which means the tanks are going from one house to another and their shells is opening the way for them. Because, you know, Jabalia is mainly the biggest area of it is a refugee camp, and it's built from simple materials, and tank shells could enter three houses in a row. One tank shell could hit three houses and do damage. There's no way to hide in Jabalia. Again, in the West Bank, I think it will escalate. Seeing it today, the situation today, definitely the population of the West Bank will not stay silent of what's happening in Gaza. Today we saw spontaneous demonstrations everywhere, and the army attacked it heavily. Today, so far, they haven't been using live rounds as much as using rubber-coated bullets and tear gas, but there is fear that they're going to start using force to suppress any new wave of protesting against the Israeli army in the West Bank. Some journalists today have been reporting the third intifada starting, meaning that maybe the escalation of Gaza will spark a third wave of uprising among Palestinians, and that's, we have to wait and see about that and see where it's going.
What do you think is going to make it a third uprising as opposed to ongoing struggle? What will be the difference?
Well, the difference, there is not much difference. In 2007, there was a kind of a general consensus among Palestinians that we need to calm things down. We have been, you know, we have been struggling for a long time, so we want to cool things down and see what, give a chance for the political process. And usually, uprisings happen after the failure of the political process. Now, the new political process that was, the negotiations that was reinstated after Annapolis conference in November 2007, so far, Israel has continued to attack, continued to attack Gaza, continued to confiscate land to build settlements in the West Bank, continued to attack the West Bank. Even the Fatah movement, who's leading the negotiations with the Israelis from the Israeli government itself, said that the peace talks will never achieve peace by the end of 2008. So people are disappointed. The Palestinians are disappointed by the new hope of peace that was given after Annapolis. So that's therefore. Therefore, you know, we could see a new wave. That's why I called it a new wave, and maybe we've been called a third intifada, a third uprising, which means we are looking about for new and new months of escalated violence and death tolls rising everywhere. Hopefully, Israel will go back to its senses and the world will put pressure on Israel to stop its attacks on Gaza soon and to prevent any escalation of violence. But so far, the way it's going is going towards more escalation. Some people were, some analysts we interviewed yesterday was talking about a Middle East war since two American destroyers were moved to the shores of Lebanon. To say to Hezbollah, if you attack Israel, we are already on the shore ready to attack. Some people saw it as a threat to Hezbollah to not interfere to attack Israel to ease the pressure on Gaza, which what happened in 2006. This is what sparked the Israeli war in Lebanon. When the Israeli army attacked Gaza heavily, Hezbollah fired shells at and did an operation on the borders with Israel. That's for Israel responded with a war on Lebanon. So this yesterday, two American destroyers moved to the shore of Lebanon to threat Hezbollah not to interfere or to put pressure on Lebanon to keep Hezbollah quiet. We will have to wait and see. The coming few days will be crucial to see what's going to happen.
Because one story that I thought was very interesting this week was the Al-Aqsa fighters had agreed a truce with Israel at Annapolis. There wasn't going to be any more attacking of Fatah's resistance fighters. What happened with them this week in Nablus, I think, was very interesting. Could you explain about that?
Well, basically, the three fighters were killed, two on Thursday and one on Wednesday, mentioning that all of those fighters who have been killed and attacked signed on the agreement. Al-Aqsa brigades of Fatah decided to give the peace a chance, so they decided to truce. So they surrendered their guns to the Palestinian Authority, and some of them were absorbed in the Palestinian security agencies. And they said, we're going to give peace a chance, so we're not going to resist, we're not going to use arms anymore to struggle against Israel, to give the political side the chance to negotiate and maybe achieve peace by the end of 2008. Now, suddenly this week, the Israeli army attacked three groups of those fighters who decided to let go of their guns and signed papers saying, we will not attack Israel and surrender their guns, and they were giving immunity by the Israeli army, saying that we'll not attack them. But this week they attacked them, they killed three of them. One of them was killed when he was leaving his job. He's a police officer, was absorbed in the police of Palestinian police. So he was leaving his job with other four of his colleagues. They drove in using a vegetable market, Israeli undercover assassins, and they shot him, killed him, and shot his colleagues four. They kidnapped them all. When they were leaving, there was a worker in the street. They were renovating the street and they shot him. So next day they invade and they target another two groups of Fatah brigades in Askar refugee camp on Thursday, and they killed two of the fighters, injured another two who were kidnapped by the army also.
So this means Annapolis is over?
Well, hopefully not. Like, everyone was... Annapolis gave a sign of hope that maybe the Americans will put pressure on Israel to stop the settlement activity and to achieve a peace deal by end of 2008. But so far, let's say Annapolis is in a coma. And it went into a coma. Hopefully, by some miracle, it will be revived. If not, we are looking about more violence escalating. And this time, if the Israelis don't want to deal with anybody that the Palestinians elect, whom the Israelis want to negotiate with, if they are not willing to negotiate with the Fatah movement headed by Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who's known as a secular movement and open-minded movement who changed a lot of his strategy since it started struggling against the Israeli army. They didn't like the Palestinians when they elected Hamas movement, an Islamist faction. The left parties, they also don't want to talk with the left parties. So all the political spectrum of the Palestinians are not to the like of the Israeli government, so with whom you want to talk. So it's being more and more clear that the Israeli government and the Israeli army is not interested in peace. Is not interested in solving the situation. They do want to tackle core issues like Palestinian refugees, political prisoners, water, security, borders, Jerusalem issue, the settlements. Therefore, they will not find anybody in the Palestinian community that will tell them, okay, I'm willing to drop all of that, all of our national rights, all of our UN-agreed rights, for you to like. What, do you want us to live in 64 cantons in the West Bank and 3 cantons in Gaza, be living like the South African regime, while you control and we just live and be your cheap labor? Nobody will agree to that. Therefore, if the Israeli government continue to attack, continue to refuse to let go things in the negotiation and to move the negotiations forward, the Israelis will lead the new peace initiative that was instated by the US President George W. Bush. They will lead it to die soon.
I'm speaking with Ghassan Banoura of IMEMC. That's www.imemc.org. And we are having this conversation from occupied Bethlehem. Carlos Handel, notorious and famous cameraman shot in the neck when covering Ramallah in 2002, survived and went on to work in Iraq. He'll be speaking about the dangers that face reporters covering conflict. This is Penny Quinton for Indie Global Reports on Resonance FM 104.4.
My name is Carlos Handel. I'm from Bethlehem. I am a cameraman for news cameraman. I work for many agencies, Arabic agencies and foreign agencies. Like I was working as a freelance with the Fox News and with the ABC News. I did with the ABC News 6 months in Iraq. I work many years as a freelance with the Fox News. For a freelance, I was making the original interviews for Arafat in the night. Okay. I was nearly to when I started to work with the news about 35 years old, nearly 35 years old. And before I was working like a cameraman for weddings and everything like that. But when I had been 35 years old, I started because the first intifada started in Palestine and I start to cover news in Bethlehem in the beginning. You know, to work with the news, I was working as a Palestinian. I don't feel difficult things because I was always feeling that I am covering my cause. I am covering my cause. I want to show the truth, what's going on. For this, I was working sometimes very hard just to show the truth more than it's work to get money. Also, when I had been in Iraq, I was working with ABC News. And with this agency, they must to bring always cameraman alone, sound man alone. And they called me in Iraq one-man band because I was doing everything alone. And I was going embedded with the army for 10 days a month. I was filming for four agencies, for the ABC News. And the ABC News, they give the rushes for another three agencies like CNN, Fox News, every month, 10 days, one of these agencies, they must to send one cameraman to do this job, to go embedded with the army, to cover for the four agencies. And when I was going alone. I was doing it by myself. And like I told you, they called me one-man band. You know, to do more than one thing, it's not taking you to a danger, because anything you go to do, or film or a sound or anything else, is everything for to cover the news, like in the place like Iraq, is danger or in Palestine when we are covering the tanks, the Israeli tanks, when there is shooting, even if you do anything of any job from these jobs, is dangerous. But to do it, all of them together, you need someone that he knows everything. It's not dangerous, but you need someone that he knows how to play with the sound, how to play with the camera, how to do everything. The work is a very nice job, but the places is really very, very hard, very, dangerous, more than dangerous.
Terrifying.
You don't have the words.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, for example, I give you an example. When you are going to film and they start shooting from the both sides and you have in the middle tanks and you have no place where you can go, and this is, you can see the bullets going from here and there, you know, you will be able to get die in a few minutes, you know. But when you are in the middle, you are working, you don't feel that you are going to die. You want to take the good shots and to show the truth, what's going on. You don't think about yourself. You always think about which kind of pictures you want to take to show the world. I want to tell you how many times I felt the danger. All the tanks, they entered to Ramallah. The tanks, they wanted to make, they surrounded Ramallah and to make a curfew on Ramallah. And I had been in my car. I stopped my car between a big wall and I stopped till the tanks will go on. Now the tanks, they didn't went. They stopped exactly near my car. And I was inside my car and nobody saw that I am inside. After maybe 10 minutes, came somebody from outside, from the Palestinian guys. And he has weapons with him. He's a Kalashnikov and a pistol. Want to enter to my car. And he came into my car with his weapons. Now, I am a journalist. I can't go outside and I can tell the army that I'm a journalist. They don't do nothing for me, for example. I am not afraid. But when this guy, he came to my car and he's a Palestinian, I can't go outside because if I go outside, they will catch him and they will take him to prison or maybe they will kill him. Stay in the car maybe more than 1 hour till the tanks they went. Now, before the tanks they went, there is another car behind my car. The tanks, they came on this car and destroyed it. And you know, I was really afraid that now when they will finish this car, they will push my car also, and I am inside the car. And my friend, he tried to cry, he beginning to cry like the child, and he said, oh, now we will die. And he said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulallah, we finished, khalas, that's it. And I told him, oh, you are saying La ilaha illallah, and me also, I am saying La ilaha illallah. We are going to die, you know, we were waiting for a few seconds, even not minutes, that the tank will go on our car. And you know, directly they went like this, they went from our car and they went away, and we went to the our office. It was 1 month before that I was injured in the big bad situation in Ramallah. When they entered to Ramallah, I went to film the tanks near the Mukata'a. The Mukata'a is the president's office. I filmed all the tanks. They were rolling around the Mukata'a, the president's office, and how they destroyed it. After then I finished to film maybe 15 minutes I filmed. I went to my car and my friend was waiting for me in the car. I gave him my camera and I tried, I start to drive to go back. To that I told him, we finished, we have enough rushes for today, because a lot of tanks, a lot of destroyed walls and buildings of from the Mukata'a. And I told him, now we must go back to the office. We do our report for today. I was working with the Nile TV, Egyptian TV. After then, we went back maybe 200 meters, nearly to 200 meters. They start to shoot on us, on our car. And my friend was filming. In the same minute, he was filming. The camera was rolling. And the all the bullets, they came to our car while we are driving and going back. And I was injured with 4 bullets. One in my here and one in the neck and 2 in the shoulder. And I was 4 days in the intensive care and I was like dying. I mean, nobody was thinking that I will be alive again after this one. And, you know, I want to tell you something also. After this maybe 1.5 years, I went to Iraq to film in Iraq. It means no dangers. Yeah. I am working with my job honestly. I am a Palestinian. But I was filming also in Jerusalem. And all the Israeli buses was bombing. I was filmed, and I was when I see also the Israeli people was dying, I was also in the same feeling like Palestinian people, because all of them, they are human, they are not soldiers, and this is not war, you know, the people, they are living, children, young boy, old people, you know, it's not something, but this is political. This is political. We don't like it, and the Israeli, they don't like it, but this is political. The big bosses, they want to do this. You know, in our situation here in Palestine, everything is dangerous, because this is Israeli and Palestinians, and they hate each other. And always, the Israeli, they... Yani, they call us terrorism. They are afraid from the Palestinian. When we reach the one checkpoint from the Israeli soldier, they are afraid. Why they are afraid? Because we are Palestinian. We are terrorism. All of them, they thought that we are all the Palestinian, that they are terrorism. But no, there is. Many of the Palestinians, they understand, they want to live, they want their country to live in peace. Not, but the Jewish people always, if they see one Arabic, they will say, this is terrorism, terrorism. This, you know, I never thought that I will go prison, for example, but I was always thinking maybe I will can get a bullet and I will die. But when you think in these things, when you finish your work, when you are sitting at home, when you are looking to your children, you think in this one. But when you are in the middle of the work, you don't think with this. Because you are thinking always, how did the Israeli kill children or the Palestinian kill the Israeli children also, the same. Yani, I don't like for the children and the old men, or Palestinian or Israelis, I don't want for them to die, because we want to live. We want to live together with peace. But you, when you are working, you never think that you will get something not good for you. You just always, because you know, I am working. This work is my job. I want to show the truth. I don't think about any other thing else. Just I want to show the world the truth. Not because I'm Palestinian and they are Jewish, no. Just even I can work with the Jewish people to show the truth for the Jewish people also, if the Palestinians do something wrong. You know, maybe because I am a long time working in this job, and you know, this is from inside. I cannot explain for you my feelings with this. You know, for example, in Iraq, I was filming dead people that they are without hands, without heads, without the boy with the 3-4 pieces. You know, but after then you finish filming, you sit and start to ask yourself, why this happened? Why? But during the work, you never can think about this. Just during the work, always you want to show the truth. Because till now, we are living in the same problems, in the same things, you know. I don't like for the both sides these problems to be. You know, I can't say, for example, now, if I hear some bombings outside and this, I go out and I start to film, even not from me, I don't know, something from inside gives you to go out, I don't know. Even, you know, you can ask my wife, we were sleeping, for example, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and we were hearing bullets, and I was going, and I was filming all the time. Yani, after then I slept maybe 2-3 hours, I go, just I hear something, tanks or something, I was running to go to film. Even for work or not for work, but I don't know, I went to film. You know, there is no truth without camera. No truth without camera. Without picture, there is no truth. They can say everything. Now the Israelis, they shot me. And now in the court, they are saying that we didn't shoot him. But we have the film. As who shot him? They said, we don't know. And the judge, he can't say nothing for them. He said, the army, he said, not him, but he don't know who. As who shot me, and who shot the ambulance, the Palestinian, if they shot me, they will shot the ambulance also. Nobody can trust this. I am Palestinian, and I am living in Palestine, in Bethlehem. I am a Christian also. This is our land. This is the Holy Land, and I am from Bethlehem. All the people, they come from around all the world, they come to Bethlehem to visit Bethlehem, and I am living in Bethlehem. I want to live in peace in Bethlehem. I don't want problems. I like, for example, for tomorrow to work for some documentaries for Holy Land, for tourists. This is the nice jobs that we can do it. I don't want to always just to film tanks and bullets and murders and deaths and... yeah, this is, you know, because I am Palestinian and I am living here. I want to show the truth. Now, I must live here. Now, the Israeli, they don't want any Palestinian living in Palestine. They want them, all of them, to leave the country. But no, we want to stay and we want to live in peace. Why not?
You are listening to Indie Global Reports for Resonance FM. On 104.4.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Yeah, I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train.
together. Go bring your good friends too, cause it's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. Come and join the living. It's not so far from you, and it's getting nearer. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on.